Our gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name, Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for we receive your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you showed your mercy to all of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you called all of us today to praise you, to worship your name, and to be strengthened, edified, encouraged, humbled by your words of life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful family of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oftentimes, oh Lord, this human mind does not realize the privilege of being part of the fellowship of God, the family of God, the friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that united all of us, for the Spirit that redeemed all of us, for the Calvary that washed all of us. Thank you, Lord. May you bless us, Lord, to be a fruitful garden for your name in this land, wherever you planted us, O Lord. May you bless us, Lord, to understand your love and our Heavenly Father watching over all of us. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the understanding to understand who you are. Thank you, Lord, for you opened the understanding in our life that you are the way, the truth, and the life. May you bless us to shine your light. May you bless us to speak of your glory. May you grant us the grace and the knowledge and wisdom to witness you wherever we go. Wash our feet, O Lord, for we are called to walk barefooted, just holding on to the truth. For thy word is a lamp unto all our feet. Lord, we bless your holy name. Sanctify our church, sanctify our hearts. May you soak the house of the Lord with the Spirit of the Lord. May you move us, Lord, in the midst of us. May you touch us and speak to all of us from the bottom of our heart. We are here to glorify your name. We are here to submit to your beautiful, divine, holy, perfect will, O Lord. Your will is our desire, O Lord. May you teach all of us to do everything according to your will. Here we are, O Lord. May you take us, mold us as you please. May you bless us to be united as one family of God. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we surrender the sermon. We surrender our life. May you work in us, the Holy Spirit. We welcome you in the midst of us. In the name of Jesus, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The sweetest name of all. The beautiful name of all. And the most powerful name of all. Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. Amen. Anointed. Jesus Christ, the anointed, Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, Prince of Peace, Prince of Life, Righteous Judge. We thank the Lord that He anointed all of us with His Spirit, that He anointed all of us with His understanding. The Scripture says, the anointing is the only thing that can destroy the yoke of wickedness. The power of anointing shall destroy sickness. The power of anointing shall destroy the yoke of the enemy, the yoke of the flesh, the yoke of the darkness, the yoke of the evil, the yoke of whatever is against the yoke of the Lord. If you truly want to be delivered, there is one thing we must seek: the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He has granted to all of us the Comforter, the promise. But the Lord also told us, if you want, you ask. the Father in heaven, He shall grant whatever is the desire of our heart. But most of the time, our desire is always something that can last for a moment of time. Something that is not permanent, that is temporary. Blessings that are temporary can never glorify the name of the Lord, my brethren. If at all the Lord gives you a temporary blessing, it is for you to see the permanent testimony that can push you to hold on to the permanent testimony, permanent blessing that can last forever. Amen? Whenever we ask the Lord, Lord, I want this, give it to me. Most of the time, the thing that we ask is always something that is troubling you today. That is going to last in your life for a while. But that thing should never define your life. That temporal thing can never define the love that we have for our Savior. Amen? So the Lord, He is encouraging us, giving us blessings, giving us surprises. All those things, it's for us to hold on to the permanent, certain heavenly blessing. So, the anointing can destroy the yoke of the flesh, yoke of the wickedness. Then we say, Lord, anoint my ears, anoint my lips, anoint my mind, anoint my heart. Soak me in the anointing of the Spirit, that I may live a life that is worthy of thy calling. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, the life abides on them. Amen? Those who believe not, the wrath of God abideth on them. So if the Lord wants us to deliver from the captivity, there is a yoke that is holding you in. There is a prison gate that is locked. There are some bands that tie your hands together. You can't do what you want. The work of your hands are tied. Your feet cannot move because you are thrown into some stronghold, some bondage. When the Lord says, I am the deliverer, I gave you the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing is the destroyer of the yoke. You can experience the weakness of your flesh will have no place when you pray. After you finish praying, you will go back to your same weakness. The weakness, the troubles of your mind will be frozen when you start praising, worshipping the Lord. After you finish everything, when you are ready to embrace the world again, it will all jump on you happily. Then will try to pollute your mind and make you stressful, weary, and just go on the way it has been. So what happened between praise and worship and prayer and listening to the word of God, meditating the words of life? The power of anointing, it separates everything from you and all the yokes are broken. But what we do, we do not desire to stay in the same anointing, but rather we take it for a moment. Then we go and hold on to things that are destined to be destroyed only for a moment. So what can last for a while, we hold on to it. What can last forever, we hold on to it for a moment. This cannot go on, especially when we are walking towards the end of all the promises. For we are all waiting for the Lord to come and take us home. If the Lord called all of us to be the wise virgins, to ensure that there is no complacency, there is no delay, there is no laziness in our walk. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, the surrounding of the wall of fire, the ark that carried the lives of Noah and family, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is the clothing that we must cover ourselves. So when we get up, we say, Lord, I put on the cloth of the Spirit. So come what may, I will face it. Come what may today, I will face it. Come what may tomorrow, I will face it. Because the covering that you have, the Spirit that seals you, Because the Lord has promised us, you are sealed unto the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So if we want to be away from all the yokes of burdensome memories, weariness, whatever the past, whatever the future, worrying is sin. Amen? Worrying is sin. The Lord did not even say worrying is weakness. He said worrying is sin. Those who are filled with the Spirit, we have the blessed assurance, my Lord will see me through. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we know whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Then worriness is against these two beautiful words of promise. So worriness is sin. Because worriness tells us you do not believe in Christ. Worriness tells us if you believe in Christ, you would be burdened not to worry. Amen? Burden is different. If I say, Lord, I feel the burden to serve you, which means I am serving the Lord with some other burden. You will be glad, you will be rejoicing when you serve the Lord. But the persecution, when the Lord says, you will embrace the fellowship of my sufferings, those sufferings, my brethren, will never come from the children of God, will never come from the Almighty God. Those sufferings will come because you decided to be the testimony of Jesus, and the world will never leave you live a life happy. You will be keep on hit by stones, words, betrayal, fall, lot of things. But the Lord says, throughout these sufferings, throughout this tribulation, I am here to console you. That is why Jesus Christ, He told us, the Comforter I will give you. He will comfort you. 2,000 years of comforting going on. Why? Because the Lord says, I'm going to take my hands off. I will release you in the midst of wolves. I will release you in the midst of men. The power of darkness. You will be persecuted, tortured, suffered. But not to worry. I will comfort you. Before the resurrection, the Lord did not have to comfort them. Why? He was keep on giving them victory in everything that they touch. Joshua can never be defeated by any army in the world. Moses, no one can lay hands on Moses. So, the Lord who was keep on giving victory in the battles in the Old Testament, He changed His approach by giving them comfort in the New Testament. Why? It is done. On Calvary, Jesus said, it is done. It is finished. So 2,000 years, the Lord says, can you do what I did for you? He told David, can you build a sanctuary for me to dwell in the midst of you? He's calling all of us today. Can you embrace the fellowship of my sufferings until I come home? Until I take you home? 2,000 years of the Spirit leading, guiding, and comforting. Leading, guiding, and comforting. Manifesting, revealing, and comforting. Healing, delivering, and comforting. The process of comfortation is keep on going. Why? Because the Lord knows my seeds, my sheep will be tossed and thrown. They will get hurt. But you have the healer. People will put us into prison. But you have the deliverer. You have the chain breaker. We will get a lot of sickness in the body, a lot of wounds in our heart. But not to worry. We have the healer. Divine healer. So now, the Lord has delivered all of us from the yoke that was holding you firm for all our life. The Lord came and said, no, it's not happening. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty and you shall be free. I will put my Spirit in you. Amen. When the Spirit comes to the heart, we are delivered from the yoke. Amen. So this yoke, this bondage, the Lord destroys it. He is not repairing it. The Lord would never repair an evil work. He destroys it. Because whatever is against His children, He destroys it. Amen. So today, by God's grace, we continue from where we left last Sunday. Four sore judgments. Four sore judgments. Sword, famine, beast, pestilence. The book of Ezekiel presented these two chapters, chapter 14 and 15, which introduces this judgments that the Lord sent upon the house of Israel. And it all happened because of the different relationships that we see in the scripture. Now, you see, in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam. He was having fellowship with him. But still, he saw him, it's not good for a man to be alone. So he created Eve for him. So, relationships, fellowship, has been the foundation of what we read in the scripture. Amen? There is a relationship. A covenant, let's say marriage, a covenant between man and woman. A father and son, inheritance. A brother and brothers, brotherhood, they share the same inheritance. Sister and sisters. Friend and friends. Leader and followers. Builder and builders. King and people. Shepherd and the sheep. Savior and the ones who got saved. Redeemer and the remnants. So, we can see different shades of relationships from the beginning until today. And this time, in the last 2,000 years of comforting, the Lord has given us a promise of a relationship that is yet to be completed by the marriage of the Lamb. Amen? Bride and groom. Husband and wife. So now, if you look deeply how the Lord led us in the past weeks, Hezekiah was a king. The relationship of the king to the people was, he is responsible to protect the kingdom, to seal the kingdom from all the enemies, and to set watchmen upon the wall to be aware of what's going on around the kingdom. So king and people is the relationship that you can see in the lives of Hezekiah and the watchmen and the people. And we saw how the Lord raised an adversary and he gave them a lesson. Then we move to Nehemiah. He is not a king, a governor, a builder. He had a task to complete. He built the wall, not by himself. The Lord raised builders of the wall and they worked together with him. So he was a leader and he had followers. He was a builder and he has fellow builders. Then we move to David. David was a shepherd overseeing his sheep. Then the Lord pulled him, took him out of what he was doing. Then he changed the season. He put him as a servant in the house of Saul. He was a servant to King Saul. And he was a friend to Jonathan. Then the Lord blessed him, anointed him. He brought the two houses together and he exalted him to be the king over Israel. He brought the two houses together, house of Judah, house of Saul from house of Benjamin. So David has also relationship. In other words, what is the bond between David and people? He is a king to the people. What is the bond between David and Micah? He is a husband to the wife. What is the bond between David and Bathsheba? He loved her truly, but he made a mistake, but he married her again properly as the Lord wanted him to be. He became the husband to Bathsheba. Then what is the relationship between David and Solomon? A father to the son. Amnon, Absalom, Adonijah, then he had other sons as well. So, if we bring David at the center of what we see in the book of Old Testament, all the chapters, David resonates all the relationship that you can think of in the scripture. Think about this deeply. Unlike Joseph and Jacob, David, he experienced the glimpse of every single role Jesus Christ has played in the New Testament, has been playing for all of us in the role of our life as a Savior. Amen? You see, David was a shepherd. He was a servant. He was a friend. He was a warrior. He became a king. He loved a woman. He was a father. Now, David is also a prophet. He's also a true worshiper of God. He's a psalmist. He writes psalms for the Lord. All the relationship that we see in the life of David, we can see the son of David. We can see the Prince of Peace, Prince of Life, our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord sent some curse to the life of David, amen, he sent, then it must be because of some relationship that he was holding on to. Relationship is the main theme of today's sermon. Father, children, friend, friends, shepherd, sheep, leaders, followers, builder, builders, king, people, all these relationships, and the most important one, husband and wife. Amen? Husband and wife. The reason the life of David took a different direction was because of his love for his wife, of his love for his kingdom, of his love for his children, of his love for his servants, of his love for his friends. David has become the central focus of all the strings attached to his heart, relationships, the love that he had for them. And he paid the price whenever he stood out of the Lord's righteous way. So, father, sons, daughters, father and children, that is what we started last Sunday in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. By God's grace, we will start from there as we have a few verses left there to realize, to experience the power of relationship and the power of anointing and the destruction of yoke that is due for the deliverance of God's children. Amen. Now, let's turn our scriptures to book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 20 to 23. Chapter 14, verse 20 to 23. I will read the verses. When I'm led to write something, I request Brother Clement to read the verses for us. Chapter 14, verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more, when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it, and man and beast, to cut off from it, man and beast. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings. And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done it, saith the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 23, the Lord says, they shall comfort you because I sent some evil against them. The Lord says, I raise the adversary against my children. I allow the evil to jump on my children. But don't worry, I will send you comfort. Either my servants, my kings, my saints, my prophet, my priest, whatever it is, I will send the vessels of comfort for you to survive this, for you to escape this. The Lord appointed certain people to apply the blood on the doorpost when he sent the plague which killed all in Egypt, all the beasts and the firstborns, whatever the plague that the Lord would keep on sending. His children will keep on sealed, protected from whatever that he was sending. And the Lord says, when you see their ways, when you see their doings, you will be comforted. Don't you see the testimony of God's children? The testimony of how the Lord delivered them, how the Lord was faithful to them. It comforts you when you are going through such a similar storm, similar thing. You go and read scripture and the life of a man or a woman will comfort you. Okay, Lord, you did this beautiful miracle in her life, in his life. Lord, I'm comforted. I trust you. May you bless me to hold on to my faith. So, the life of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, comforts us now. And in those days, the Lord also comforted them by giving them deliverance, victory, and also by raising the standard bearers in that time for people to look up to the holy faith, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon his servants. So they can have a blessed inspiration for them to press on. Because that must be an encouragement, my brethren. Don't you know, we all need encouragement every day. Can we say, I am here only to encourage you, but I don't need encouragement. My brethren, we are always in need of help. We are always in need of encouragement. And that can only come from the God's family. Not the family of the world. Not the encouragement of your colleagues. Those things will be like motivational words. Stays for a while, then disappears. But the testimony of Jesus will stay with us forever. If the Lord opened our eyes to see him in every one of you, to see him in every one of our loved ones in Christ, we can be comforted. We must be comforted because he has given us a promise. Now, tribulations, destruction is going on. And we read from the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, I have not done without cause all that I have done it. This reminds me when the scripture reminded us very strongly, the Lord is holy and righteous in all his works. Whatever he do, he is holy, he is righteous. Whatever he do. And if we truly believe God, when we are broken, crushed, going through a lot of problems, we say, Lord, this is happening in my life, but I am your tabernacle. I am your sanctuary. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. If it happens with your permission, with you allowing this to happen, Lord, I will hold on to this promise. Whatever happens to me, as long as I trust in you, with agape love, the truth, the Lord is holy and righteous in all his ways, in all his works. I am yours. He is the way. And the Lord is holy in all his ways. He is the word of God. And he called all of us the words of God, the part of the word. So our life is also part of his way. Amen. You have a part of the word, and that part of the word, it travels in a certain direction. You can never compare your life with someone. It is so beautiful, precious, unique, only between you and God. It's like a fingerprint of your life. He's writing a beautiful epistle in your life. It's so personal. Amen? So when you say, the Lord is holy in all his ways, in the ways of all his seeds, all his children, all his promises, he is holy, he is righteous. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. And we see the travel from the four sword judgments. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? He's questioning. Behold, it is cast into the fire of fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it. And the midst of it is burnt. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it meet yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, So will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. Let's hold on and rest in this verse. I pray all our hearts are calm, at rest in the presence of the Lord. These three verses, the Lord says, everyone will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against my children. What? I don't understand if you are in flesh. You do understand if you embrace righteousness. If a father loves the children, he is known as a good father by the love, care, affection, protection, security, provision, whatever that he has to do for the children, for the world to know, oh, this man is a wonderful father to this child. Amen? But the Lord says, everyone will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against my children. Against my children. So what the Lord is teaching us, I am who I am. What do you say? Lord, who are you? I am who I am. I am that I am. I am He. That is what who God is. That's all we are allowed to receive. And He called all of us to be His children. Amen. And the Lord says, whenever I see my children losing what I gave them, dropping what I told them to hold on, I will set my face against them. When I do so, everyone knows that I am the Lord. The Lord who is the same forever. Forever. And He says, I will make the land desolate. Why? The land has no life in it. Just dust or ground upon which we are all standing. And the Lord says, because my children trespassed my commandments, did something against me, I am going to make the land desolate. Now you see, the vine tree, it is rooted on the ground. So it sucks the water from the deep, and the land must have water. Amen? It doesn't matter if the tree is planted on a ground, but there is no water in the ground. The tree will die. If there are no nutrients in that sand, if the dust is not nutritious, then the tree cannot bear fruit. Amen? So, the tree is known by the nourishment in the sand. And the sand is also known, or the land is also known by the fruit, the tree that bears. Amen? The foundation of God that standeth for sure is like that land we are planted upon, the trees of righteousness. So as long as our feet is rooted deep, stand firm in the Lord, then that foundation will feed you all the words of life. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit will come out, and the tree will be seen, and the Lord will say, oh, he looks like me. Oh, she looks like me. Oh, they are conforming to my image. Oh, where is your foundation? Oh, this land is my foundation. So the Lord knows you by the land where you are planted. And the Lord also knows the land by the trees that are planted on that land. That is exactly why Abraham said, Lord, if there are 10 righteous men in that land, can you spare that land? So Abraham, he tied the righteous people to the redemption of a land, of a city. So, people and the land. Now, there is someone who owns them both. Who is that one? King. Not the scribe. Not the chief captain. Not the prophet. Not the leader. Not the builder. The king who owns the land and also the people. Amen? He is the landlord of the city, of the kingdom, where he is ordained, anointed to be the king. He owns the people. He owns the armies. He owns the walls. He owns everything. He owns ownership. The King of Kings, he owns everything. But he did not simply took it. He earned it. The glorious Jesus Christ. Glorified. Now, the land will be desolate because my people trespassed me. Land. When David committed something in his personal life, the Lord cursed the entire house of Judah, house of Israel. He cursed the entire generation. He said, the sword shall never depart from your house. If any people go and protest against God, it's not fair. Look at my house. I have blood of Christ on the doorpost. You just send the plague to everyone, not to my house. That is not the body of Christ. That is not the branch that is part of the tree of life. And the Lord says, when one suffers, we all go and suffer with it. Amen? When one part of the body suffers. If you don't do so, you also have no room, no right to rejoice when one rejoices. It works both the ways. If you want to be delivered from death, you should be willing to die. If you want to be always under the life of Christ, you should also be willing to embrace the sacrifice, the suffering that comes with it. It's not free. It's a gift. Amen? Now, Ezekiel 14 presents the revelation of how the Lord looks at fathers and sons and daughters. Amen? Because chapter 14 tells clearly, even if it is Job, even if it is Noah, even if it is whoever it is, Daniel, I am who I am. I will set my face against my children. But he did not say against any people. He still says, my children. That is where you have the promise. The Lord who set his face against you, he is going to turn his face back because he still calls you my children. He turns his face for a moment and the people, they are baked in the warmth of his wrath. When the bread is fully baked, he turns back in his everlasting mercy and kindness. Because he did not say, any children, my children. That is where the enemies fall. Because when the Lord turned his face, the enemies celebrated. Yoo-hoo! The walls are broken. Gates are open. Let's go and kill all of them. And after they finish all the iniquity, after they perform all the evil stuff, the Lord would turn back. Why are you turning back? I told, they are my children. I will punish them, kiss them, hug them, break their legs. I will do whatever I want. My children. That is what you see in the life of David. My servant David. Now, the word vine and the forest is the focus of chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Now, let's continue. Chapter 17, verse 22, 24. Chapter 17, verse 22, 24. 22. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take off the highest branch, not the lowest, not something in the middle, the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon an high mountain, an eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. God is good. Be a goodly cedar, be a fruitful land and bear fruit, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. Shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. What a beautiful verse it is. Verse 24, I was rejoicing in this verse because you can see your life in that verse. We were a dead tree, not even a tree, maybe a plant, just lying on the ground, no strong stem, not bearing fruit, just barely breathing, seeking for the Lord to come and shower his water of life, to revive us, to see him. And he blessed us, fed us. He judged us, he fed us, he judged us. You know why I'm saying judged us? And the Lord called David, he told, David, my servant, you will be a shepherd to this flock. Feed them and judge them. Feed them and judge them. The judgment of the Lord begins from where? House of the Lord. Amen? When the Lord says, all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. If you are going through some season where you feel dry, not to worry. That dryness is for a moment. There is a season of refreshing will come. And none stopping it. But you know what? You can stop it. The Lord can send a season of refreshing. But before you embrace the season, if you think, I'm not going to see the sun. I don't think I will see the rain. That's it. My life is done. I am done. My life is going to be like this. When we say these sort of words out of the abundance of the heart, you are actually cursing yourself. Do you know? You curse yourself. You curse yourself because you can drop the blessings. You bring the problems to yourself by uttering the words of unfaithfulness. The Lord called all of us to speak the words of life. Not being positive. That is the worldly advice. We look at all the motivation speakers. They make money by telling people, it's okay, be positive, good. Don't worry, all good, you are strong. You are an independent man, you are an independent woman. Come on, none of us are independent. We are dependent on God. We are dependent on the Spirit. We are totally submissive to the Spirit. If we are independent, we are free from the Spirit, which means we are captive to the world. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Amen? If you want to have the flesh of the world, it's captivity. It is exactly the opposite side. We will never be independent. Even if the Lord called us, you are a strong tree, we would say, no, I'm a plant lying on your shoulder. No, your arms are strong. It's okay. My hand is lame. I will hold on to your hand. We are children of the Father. A renowned plant, as the scripture says, the trees of righteousness, he will say. For us, my brethren, never ever let the flesh to tell you, I have grown up, I am strong, I can just help, I don't need help. I can just encourage, I don't need encouragement. I can just share the gospel, I don't need to be shared. High cedar will be brought down. The low cedar will be exalted. Green tree will be dried up. And the dry tree will have green leaves. So what does it tell us? The only thing that is constant in all of this is His mighty hand upon your head. The anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your head. Seasons may change. As long as the anointing does not change from your life, you are well. Your life is well. Your soul is well. Everything is fine. So, the world can see the seasons changing in your life because our body is exposed as a spectacle. Amen? But the anointing is hidden. It is cannot be seen. The Lord says, if the world can see you, then something wrong in you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can only be seen by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anointed and those who are anointed by Him. Jesus Christ. Now, the power of anointing can only work. Can only work. When that tree, that branch, submits to the will of God. The will of God is not the mercy of God all the time. The will of God is not the grace of God all the time. The will of God is the will of God, the perfect will of God, and He will show different sides of Himself as He pleases. He will be gracious to you. He will be merciful to you. He will judge you. He will teach you. He will chasten you. He will do whatever He wants. But the Lord is holy and righteous in all His ways and all His works. That verse, it can stay in every situation you can think of. For instance, David's son was to be killed on seventh day. But the Lord did not simply say, your son will be sick. He said, your child shall die. Amen? Because He is the truth. He would never go around the speech. He will say this is my sword, it is straight and goes to your heart. Receive it. He said, David, my servant, Prophet Nathan said, your sins, the Lord will not let you die. The Lord forgives your iniquity, but your child will die. Amen? But now, during the 7 days, David was fasting and praying. Amen? Now I ask you a question. If you are David, if I am David, the Lord says, your child shall die. The word of the Lord is spoken. Amen? Now, if David is going to fast and pray, and all the people of Israel come and tell you, David, do not disobey God's word. He already told you, the words are spoken, your child will die. Why are you praying? Why are you praying? Why are you fasting? Why I see you in sackcloth? Just submit to God's will. That is not God's will. God told Prophet Jonah, I am going to send this to the city of Nineveh. Jonah, what he did, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He did not stand in the gap. But David stood in the gap. He did what he could do. Yet, God did what he would do. That is the will of God. David did not receive the mercy of God on those 7 days. Amen? But David received the holy ways of God, the righteous works of God, throughout the days of his life. Do you understand? So, grace of God, mercy of God, the Lord, he does what he thinks that is good for our life. But you can have the assurance, my God is holy, he is righteous, for that reason, all his ways, all his works in my life, make it personal. Don't just look at it as something, some other chapter. Make it personal. In my life, all his works in my life, all his ways in my life, he is righteous, he is holy. That is why David is called a man after my own heart. Now, we read this. Chapter 19, verse 10, 14. 19, verse 10, 14. Now, Judah is likened to a vine. Chapter 15, we read about how the Lord sees the vine tree in the midst of a forest. And now, in 17, we saw how the Lord brings down a cedar tree and exalts a lower tree. Now, in 19, verse 10, Judah is compared to a vine. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood. Blood. When Jesus told all of us, I am the vine, you are the branches, it can only happen if both the vine and the branches are sharing the same water that is coming from the same root. Amen? If there are two different roots, it's two different trees already. We are not one. If the vine and branch share some other different water, then that branch is not part of the vine. No. It must be the same blood of Christ. It's like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. Amen. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And our Lord was compared to the sound of many waters in the book of Revelation. But here, the verse itself says, she was fruitful. Which means, she is not fruitful at that point of the word is spoken. It became a past tense. I would say, in my life, there are a lot of goodness the Lord blessed me with. Whenever I became sincere, I feel in my heart, I was, it was, God was, the testimony was, the blessing was. What happened to yes? Do you hear me? It happens in our life. Whenever we tend to forget the goodness of the Lord, all his goodness would feel like yesterday. But the Lord says, today is the day. My mercy endureth forever. Why you say, I was good to you? Am I not good to you today? Why you say, I delivered you? Don't I deliver to you today? Right now, when you say, my God, my Savior, my Lord is living, I serve the living God, living means present, as I breathe. That's what the Lord says, as I live, as I breathe, as we breathe, he is with us, he is in us, his works are around us. Seasons may tend to tell your mind, you are weak, God is not with you, you fell. It's a lie. It's a lie. Whatever makes you to feel you are weak, it is not from the Holy One. You read this with that desire. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches. Highest cedar in chapter 17, now thick branches, very strong. Thick branch means it can't be easily broken. It's very broad, very thick, wider. And she appeared in her height with multitude of her branches, but she was plucked up in fury. Lord, you gave a lot of good introduction. Strong, very tall. Then the Lord suddenly brings it all down. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty ground. What will happen if all of us are taken from this land, planted in another land where you can't even carry a Bible, where you can't even gather for fellowship, you can't even sing songs, you are not allowed to gather? You know what it is? It is nothing but this little garden the Lord uprooted and threw us into a wilderness, dry, thirsty land. Dry for what? Water for you to drink and keep the body hydrated. You will die. Food for you to fill your stomach and feel strong. You will die. The bread of life is the food. Drink into spirit is the water of life. Amen? If the Lord taught us, you are pampered so much. You got everything that you wanted to get. Now let me send you to a dry period. If the Lord do that, the trees that are planted on a dry, thirsty land will become the trees that are dry and thirsty. Correct? Because you want to suck the water, but there is no water. You want to get some sunlight, but you don't get the food. So what happened? You became desperate. You became hungry. You became looking for any droplets of water. You became restless until you find the rest. Your hunger is not quenched until you are fed. Amen? The Lord do that. Why He do that? He will smite the head of the children every time they change the absolute to something else. If they see the kingdom is absolute, He will destroy the kingdom. If they think their knowledge is absolute, He will confound them in their own knowledge. If you think your physical strength is your absolute, He will make us to reach the sickest point of our life where we can't even do anything. He will break every single yoke that is against the yoke of the Lord. Because the Lord says, my yoke is easy. Why? The power of anointing will get it done. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it by itself. For the vessel just yield. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Because God's children, they would never carry anything alone. They arm shoulder. They carry everything together. The builders of the wall cannot go and build their own wall. Now that is breach, right? If Nehemiah said, oh people, go and build, all of you, 1 meter square wall, each of you. Everybody will build their own wall, not attached together. And the enemy will say, what is this? Wall, let me walk into it. So, God has given us a promise. The root and offspring of David, our Savior gave us a promise. Do not be the prey of my fury. Do not become that wood which I will burn in my fury. Do not become the highest cedar which I have to bring it down in my fury. Do not become the thickest branch of Judah, which I will cut and throw it in my fury. Why? Why the Lord has to bring His fury into the place? Let's read this. Chapter 10, book of Isaiah, chapter 10, from verse 20 to 27. Book of Isaiah, chapter 10, from verse 20 to 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped, you know what? Escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them. The word smitten, smite, smote, you would see frequently from now on. Because it is the Lord who sent it. Amen? He sent these things. He told us in the book of Ezekiel, when I send the evil upon Jerusalem, you will be comforted by the works of my children. Verse 20 we read, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord. Shall stay upon the Lord. The Holy One of Israel in truth. Amen. Shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. When the enemies tried to enter the defense territories of the Judah, the first attack, insult that they threw was the watchman who sat upon the wall. The eyes of the Lord sitting upon the wall. Because if they can hurt them, destroy them, then that wall is nothing but bricks. Those who breathe life into that wall is those who sat upon the wall. If not, it's nothing but a brick. The eyes of watchmen, that's why the book of Ezekiel is so beautiful. It tells us how the Lord sees. Because he keeps on calling him watchman, watchman. He's saying, I'm watching my people through you. The eyes of the Lord spare none. Amen? Now we read this. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Jacob, this name we are going to focus today. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The conception decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Not with anything. Righteousness. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a conception, even determined, well planned, established plan to be executed in the midst of all the land. Again the land is coming. In the midst of all the land. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod. He who, even the Assyrian king, will be allowed to smite you with a rod, if the Lord allows, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. That is why we studied the life of Hezekiah, to have some understanding of how Assyrian kings work. What is the name of the Assyrian king? The great king of Assyria we studied. Sennacherib. His sons, Adramalek, Sharezer. His chief captain, Rabshakeh. Don't forget the names. If your flesh tells you, oh, too many names to remember, remember this verse. When the Lord sent 70 to go and preach and heal and cast out demons, when they came back, they were so glad, Lord, we are so happy, we can do great things. The Lord says, relax, calm down. Rejoice, for your names are written in the book of life. Amen? All our names are written in the book of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If the Lord tells you, oh, there are so many names. No, I forgot your name, sorry. No, Lord, don't forget my name. My name is so beautiful. You can remember my name. You can do it, Lord. When we remember the lesson from the Lord, the Spirit will remind you the names, the characters. It's not you who will remember. The Spirit will remind us. Most of the time we try to remember, but don't do it. Submit to the Holy Ghost. He will remind us. When we learn for the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will remind us what to be spoken. That's why God said, don't premeditate what you will speak when you are cornered. The Spirit of the Lord will teach you what to speak, how to speak. Because premeditation is preparation. Telling the Holy Ghost, you can go for a holiday. I can handle this. No. We rely on the Spirit. We rely on God. Now, this king of Assyria that was sent against people of God, we noted the sequence of how God dealt the situation. Amen? Because this is, we are standing at chapter 10 of book of Isaiah. what we meditated is actually more than 20 chapters from here. Chapter 26, 27, concerning what happened to Hezekiah when the king of Assyria arose against the defense territories of Judah. Now, he says, that king, he will be allowed to raise his rod, to raise his staff, to smite you. But, verse 25, he reminds the promise again. For yet a very little while, all the seasons of king of Assyria in your life, little while, just endure, my children, little while. And the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Not in your sufferings, in their destruction. So the iniquities of the world is growing by harming the children of God. The iniquities, the principalities of the world, the system of the world is going to earn the righteous judgment by causing harm, persecution, torturing the children of God. Because the Father whom we serve, He will not keep quiet. He will visit when His appointed time comes. Now He says, my indignation shall cease. My fury will come to rest. When my anger is fulfilled in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge from him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. Verse 27 is what we started the sermon today. Read this from the bottom of your heart. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. Not your burden from your shoulder. His burden from thy shoulder. Because your shoulder is reserved to carry the burden of Jesus Christ alone. Your shoulder must be free, must be strong for the Lord to carry His burden through you. For the Lord to place His burden upon you. You are not called to carry the burden of the king of Assyria. Why? He says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. My brethren, the word yoke should always remember the neck. In those days, when the people were in captivity, they had a chain around their neck. They were dragged like horses or beasts by all those Egyptian kings. They were lifting all the weights, carrying all the chariots. They were treated like beasts, and they had a yoke on their neck. For them, not, they can't run away. But spiritually speaking, I was thinking, when the apostle asked the Lord, Lord, grant us the boldness to utter the words of life with such assurance, the boldness, the utterance of the boldness, so we can speak the words. Let's say this hand is my flesh. You want to praise the Lord. You want to bless the name of the Lord. You want to witness the Lord. You want to share about Him to your loved ones. And this flesh will choke your neck. You can't speak. Only air comes. I can't speak. The abundance is here, but the outflowing is not there. Because our tongue cleaves to the roof of the mouth by our flesh. There is a yoke. We want to say amen, but we say, what if this guy, this lady, this sister, this brother, what they may think. Yoke. Hold the tongue. But when the tongue is not speaking the words of life, what's the point of this heart is filled with water? No point. Let's say the nation stops supplying water to this nation. No water. All the water reservoirs are done. I have a water tank in my house. And all the brethren run to my place. Let's drink water and survive. But I could not open the tap. The water is there. Nobody can break that tank. It's made of steel or iron. My stubbornness. Water is there, but I can't let it flow. The master says, I'm waiting. For what? I want to change this water into wine. But you can't even let it flow. You cover your head. You don't open your mouth wide. You don't open your heart wide. How can I fill you in with my righteousness? That's why book of Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. For what? For you to keep what was filled, for the Lord to take what was still in you to serve. Not for you to keep. To serve, to speak, to utter the words. Yoke. If there is yoke, you can say, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, break this yoke with the power of anointing. Why? The Lord says, this anointing was not broken by the watchman who sat upon the wall, not broken by the mighty army of the king. But the Lord says, look at the last part. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. So let's say, Sennacherib is my yoke, okay? I'm standing here. This pulpit is my wall. So there are three people sitting on the wall. They saw Sennacherib coming. They came and told me, the watchman, we saw the enemy is coming, the adversary is coming. What we shall do? We say, put on sackcloth, pray to the Lord, spread everything before the Lord, receive the anointing of the Lord, soak in the presence of the Lord. Let the Lord speak the word. And the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. He came. Words are spoken. Did they do anything? Did they even launch a single arrow outside the wall? No. They did not even have to touch the weapon. The Lord sent the angel, destroy the yoke. And that angel, what? If the angel is not filled by the Spirit of God, can that angel destroy the adversary? No. If you truly believe the Lord is surrounding you, watching you, shielding you with His angels, with His Spirit, then all the yoke can be broken. But the problem is, we don't put on sackcloth. We don't go and pray. We don't gather. We say, I have king clothing. It looks good. Let me just keep it. The Lord is mighty in battle. He'll go and fight for me. I have some better work to do. Anointing, seek anointing. If you truly want to be delivered, seek the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, isolation, depression, weariness, whatever it is, my brethren, the yoke that is in your neck, that stops you from praying, that stops you from praising, that stops you from saying amen in understanding, He can break it. But we don't say, we don't go to the house of the Lord, we say, Lord, here I am. Can you cut it? Okay, done. I can break it. But we don't say. If we don't say, He won't do it. You know why? The Savior can never save anyone who is not willing to be saved. If you do so, He's not a Savior. He's a dictator. He is not a dictator. He is a Savior. Amen? Power of the anointing. Remember, if you think you are delivered by the prayer, it's a lie. You are delivered by the anointing which you received through the prayer. If you think you prayed, someone was delivered, it's a lie. The scripture says, you don't know how to pray. The Spirit of the Lord teaches you how to pray. So all goes back to the Spirit. Whether we eat or drink, we do it for the glory of the Lord. Now you know why the Lord threw that plant of Judah in the land of dry and thirsty land. Why? You will learn from now on, I know. If I eat, I do it for the glory of the Lord. If I drink, I do it for the glory of the Lord. Why? Because previously, I didn't do it. I was eating for the glory of mine. I was drinking for the glory of mine. And the Lord saw it. He saw my thick branch. He saw my highest cedar. He broke it. He threw me in the dry, thirsty land. I learned. Now can I say, the wrath of God gave you life? Yes. Yes. If there was no wrath of God, you would have been destroyed for once and for all. You would have been marked for second death. Because of the wrath of God, you had a painful valley, but you came back to the place where you used to be. Retrieval. Restoration. So, do you pray? Or anyone, have you prayed in your life? Lord, whenever I take one step away from Thy perfect will, can You please punish me? Lord, whenever I say something, do something against Your will, can You please smite my head? If I try to fly away from the garden, can You please cut off my wings? Do you pray? Should pray. Blessed are those who desire, hunger for the righteousness of God. They will be filled. We will be filled. Filled what, man? Fill what, woman? Fill what, brother? Fill what, sister? No. Filled by the Holy Spirit is the only way Stephen can survive the stoning. We will die. But when Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, there was a way of holiness from his mouth to the ears of God. Amen? This way of holiness cannot be seen. Stone cannot come in between. Beast cannot come in between. Pestilence cannot come in between. Sword cannot come in between. That way of holiness was reserved for the spirit of Stephen to walk just like that casually. He was chilling, walking, but his flesh was dying, moaning, groaning, crying. He knelt and he told, Lord, my way of holiness is established. I can see you. I'm walking to you. Receive me. Draw me closer. When you sing the song, draw me nearer. Lord, draw me nearer. This is what we should pray. This is what we should desire. The Lord is not here to come and drag us to the church, drag us to the prayer. That is not draw me nearer. You should take the first step. Then the Lord will pull you in. If I take a step, you're going reverse. I said, oh, draw me nearer, draw me nearer. I'll go and fall on this piano. Draw me nearer can only be sung when I move forward, not move backward. That is what God wanted from the children. He didn't say, I don't want you to walk 1,000 miles. Can you take one single step for me? I will walk the hills for you. Amen. Now, verse 27 talks about anointing. Now we read from verse 33. Behold, the Lord of hosts. Same chapter, chapter 10, verse 33. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, not by wood. Iron. When he comes with iron rod in his hand. And Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. It's a simple comparison of the highest cedar. The Lord brought it down. In the book of Ezekiel 17, 19 and chapter 14. Now, we read about vine, forest, cedar, thick branch, thin branch, dry trees, green trees, exalted trees, trees that are humbled down. All good. But who can make these things straight? What can destroy this yoke of death on all of us? Next chapter, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the anointing. I don't want any of us to be ignorant of the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Is your desire telling the Lord, I want the Spirit to rest on me? The anointing of the Holy Ghost is the most blindsided, blindfolded desire that is going on everywhere. People want gifts. People want healing. People want to know more. Who is this? Who is that? How can I decode Ezekiel 36, 37, Revelation 13? All of this busyness of the world. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, what happened to you? Why are you so busy? I will get it done, whether you know or not. Do you know me? Do you know me? Is the question God is asking all of us every day. Do we rest in his feet, receive his soaking presence, the anointing? If there is no anointing, the word of the Lord we speak is not the word of the Lord. It's the word spoken by the Lord to someone and you are just repeating it. But there is no life. If I show a candle in my hand, drawn in my hand, it looks like a candle. But if I hold a handle with a flame, it gives you warmth. That feel, that experience of the heat, it makes it real. This one is not real. It's like a mirage. Looks like a water, but the more you chase, it's not there. You keep on chasing, but it's not there. You will spend your whole life in chasing the mirage. You will never find a single drop of water. But Jesus said, I am the water of life.
But he himself said to the Samaritan woman, "Can you give me water? I'm tired."
I was so blessed when the Savior, the water of life, the fountain of life, asking Samaritan woman, "Can you give me water? I'm very thirsty." Can he lie? He was very thirsty. He was weary. On the cross, he allowed Simeon to carry his cross. After resurrection, when he appeared unto the disciples, he told them, "Do you have meat? I can eat." They gave him meat. So before resurrection, he asked for water. After resurrection, he asked for meat. Dry, thirsty land. Dry, thirsty land. You need food for strength and growth. You need water to live. Amen? Quench the hunger and thirst of your life. Now, when the Lord says, "In order for me to provide this, I have to break the yoke, destroy the yoke, remove all that are not my children's." Now, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," not hovering, not moving here and there, rest upon him. Amen. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, quickening, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do you know how important it is? If it happens, you and me, gone. Do you hear me? If he judges by the sight of his eyes, we will be destroyed. Just like that. He says, "Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." No. And the Lord says, "I forget your iniquities. I don't want to hear about your nonsense. Because if you make him to hear, you will invite the wrath of God. You will make him to do something honest." The Lord says, "I'm not going to judge because what I see, because what I hear." Because he has seen our life through. Amen? He saw Saul killing people, torturing, persecuting the church of Christ. But that's not Saul God saw. He saw Apostle Paul serving him, willing to die for him. He endured that betrayal for the joy that was set before him. Amen? He gave grace to all of us. He did not see your old version. He wanted you to receive the new man. But the old man must die. The yoke between the old man and the new man must be destroyed by the power of anointing. Now, he says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor." Not the richness of the world. Not the poor of what we say in this world. Oh, he has no bank balance, no good three meals, no place to rest. He is not poor. The one who has everything still do not know the Lord. He is the poorest of all. The woman who threw the two mites, that's all she had. She is the richest of all. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." We are the meek of the earth. Who told you you are the strongest cedar? We just saw what happened to cedar. Who told you are so thick in terms of knowledge and wisdom? We just witnessed what happened to Judah. Meek of the earth. That lame who sat near the beautiful gate asking for alms. That is our default state. Amen? If at all we stand, blessed be the name of the Lord. If at all we feel the strength of the Lord in us, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the anointing destroyed the yoke that kept you who you were. Now you are different. He is changing it from glory to glory. Don't you see? Glory is anointing. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is the anointing that we must keep. It's not about how many hours you spent in witnessing him. Even without speaking a single word, someone see your life and say, "Can I come to your church?" That is the power of anointing. Now we read. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor." Thank you, Lord. "And reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." Blessed be the name of the Lord. "And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." The way he takes U-turns is ruthless. You will feel that he's going to feed you some food, then he'll slap you. That's what he do.
You will feel some sweet smell. Ah, the Lord is cooking some beautiful food for me. Then he'll say, okay, you go and fast. That's what he would say. You look at the double-edged sword in that single verse, which cuts through and it takes you to mountain, then again to valley. You will feel puffed up, then the Lord will bring you down. In a single verse, you read it again. He says, I'm not going to judge you with the sight of my eyes. I'm not going to reprove you just because what I hear. Don't worry. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know you are gracious. I know you love me so much. You know, there is no one who can beat you in this. You are so cool. Always loving. Always great, amazing. Thank you, Lord. I love you so much. Okay, wait. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. Thank you, Lord, I was poor. Now I'm rich in your wisdom. And reprove with the equity of the meek of the earth. Thank you, Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong. Until now it's okay. It's good. But now he says, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Not the hand. With his mouth. How can I smite the entire earth? By my mouth. When the word of God speaks, it shall come to pass. That is how he smite. That is how he heal. That is how he build. That is how he create. That is how he destroy. That is how he reprove. That is how he revive, renew, restore, repent. All the repentance that we had, that we receive. Never think you repented by yourself. It is impossible for man to repent to receive the Spirit of God. The presence of God blessed you to realize who you are. The presence, the anointing of the Lord destroy the yoke of lack of understanding. Destroy the yoke of blindness. Destroy the yoke of dumbness, deafness. And you could see who you are. Then the part of the word that is deeply buried in you came out. And said, I am the plant of renown because I am going to have the name of God on my forehead. Then you say, Jesus is my Lord. That seed will come out. Don't force to bring it out. I have seen people in the name of witnessing, they literally choke people to death. You believe in Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. There is no way. God called you for this crusade. That's it. Your sins are forgiven. You are saved. You are baptized. You are God's children from today. If you return back, your life will be cursed. Let the seed manifest. You are not the monogene seed. You are not the spirit which can reveal the truth. You know who you are. We are nothing but a Samaritan woman whom the Lord met in the well and asked us, can you do my works? Do you have water? I'm tired. Can you work for me? Can you work with me? Can you work by me? Can you work through me? Can you work in me? And the Samaritan woman saw the tree of life, saw the water of life, and she went back to the city and she said, the Savior sitting there. My master, the truth, sitting there. Just point the direction of the light. Don't try to be the light. John the Baptist was. He is such a wonderful servant of God. He was keep on telling, I am not the true light. I am not the true light. I am not even worthy to take off his sandals. I am not the true light. Witnessing Christ is becoming the signboard of where the word of God is sitting on which mountain and giving parables. Amen? If the Lord granted you the knowledge and wisdom, what is truth and what is not, you can see someone in the wicked and tell them this is not true, this is wrong. Enough. Your job is done. Never, ever let your heart enter into arguments. You are not the apostle. God called his apostles to destroy the foundations of false teaching. Amen? But if people take that rod in their hand, that rod, you know how the Lord would see it? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. In the same chapter, his rod, the rod of his mouth. The Lord said, I will smite the earth by the rod of my mouth. Amen? I will judge the earth by the rod that is in my hand. Now, the Lord also called all other kings, all other lords. In those Old Testament times, the Lord says, "Oh, Egyptians, you have so many gods. Let me strike one by one, so that you know the sequence of how I strike your gods, so-called gods." He strike every single yoke that they believed in, but yet they could not see. Why? He did not give them the anointing. The anointing was reserved for the remnants, the redeemed, the children of God. Do we have the anointing? If we have, the Lord will tell us how His beautiful promises fulfilled in the life of His servant, especially David, that is our main focus, irrespective of different seasons, seasons of betrayal, losing the loved ones, his wife, what happened to his wife, his sons, irrespective of all of this, the promises of God was keep on being fulfilled in the life of David above his head. But below his head, all he saw was stones, swords, destruction, death, everything. But above his head, the mighty hand of God was very strong upon him. If we believe, we will experience that manifestation. You know why I want to use the word experience? If I come and tell you a particular chapter and I share what the Lord blessed me to learn as I grow, if you just take it, that is not experience. The scripture says, we must content our life, our thoughts, our intents with the Lord, and the Lord will reveal Himself to you. Amen? Scripture is personal. Unless I go home and study the Word of God and ask the Lord to teach me, and if there is an agreement in the Spirit of the Lord, we are one. But the Lord can show you more. He can show you things in so beautiful way that is very important for your life, for the storm that you are in, for the pain that you are in, for the deliverance that you need. But the same fruit can be sour, can be sweet, can be no taste to different people. But the nutrition, the nourishment of that land will keep the tree alive. If at all we say, "Lord, we are hungry, but the food is not sufficient. We are thirsty, but the water is not sufficient." We simply question the Lord that you are not a provider. Or we are in a place where there is no truth. Amen? Spirit of the Lord. Now, let's read verse 5. And we read, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, from Ezekiel 14, 15, 17, 19, we studied the vine, the branch, how the Lord cut it, how the Lord bring it down, how the Lord exalt it again. We saw the work of the Lord. And we see the same in the life of David too. And the Lord clearly told all of us concerning his eyes, his righteous eyes, fathers and children. But did you see that chapter did not address husbands and wives? That chapter was dedicated for fathers and the sons and daughters. Amen? He said, those who are holding on to my righteousness will be saved. I cannot save anyone for the sake of someone's righteousness. We are called to receive the Holy One's righteousness, and by doing so, we will be saved. Amen? Now turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. 49 verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons." So, the name Jacob means Israel. So, Israel called unto his children. Come. All of you come here. Now, the father is going to speak before the last breath of his life. After this, Jacob will die. And the son, Joseph, will bury him. Because the Lord exalted the son to be in a place where the father can be buried with honor. Whatever the Lord wanted to see in the burial of Jacob, in the place that Jacob has to be buried. So Joseph has already received God's promises. He fell, thrown into pit. The Lord exalted him. Now he is seated next to the king. So all the armies of Pharaoh, they listen to Joseph. And that is when Jacob, he is giving the promises to his sons. He says, gather yourselves together. Don't stay separated. Don't stay at your doorpost. Gather yourself together in one house of the Lord, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. We are in the last days too. But he is telling the last days of his life and also his children's lives. Gather yourselves together, he repeated again. A father repeatedly saying, my sons, gather yourselves together, stick together, team. Stay as one unit. Because they are going to fight. House of Benjamin, house of Saul, house of Judah, house of Benjamin, house of Ephraim, Manasseh, every single tribe has become a particular house. There were divisions, jealousy, fights, and the father told them twice, gather yourselves together. And here ye sons of Jacob, do not forget God who changed my name to Israel. Hear me, and hearken unto Israel your father. See how he beautifully introduced himself again. Gather yourselves together, my sons, hear me, ye sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel, your father. So you are sons of Jacob, but hearken unto me, Israel, your father. He is not referring to him. The first part, Jacob is telling all of them, earthly sons, referring to earthly father. And he says, hearken, there is only one you can hearken unto, the Lord himself, none. The Spirit of the Lord resting on His servant. We hearken unto the servants, but we hearken unto the Lord and His Spirit. And He says, hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, so I start my scolding from you. My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Reuben must be happy. See, that's what firstborn gets. See, firstborn. Reuben is my name. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and defiledest thou it, he went up to my couch. Reuben, is it for second son or third son? Maybe you are mistaken. Jacob is not mistaken. He is still in the same flow. Do you see the pattern? First verse, exalting Reuben. My strength, my might, my excellence of power. Reuben, are you feeling pride? Puffed up? Okay, take it. Unstable as water. What? You just told me beginning of my strength. Thou shalt not excel. You just told me excellency of dignity. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and died. Then defiledest thou it. He went up to my couch. Son went into the concubine of the father, and the father cursed him before the last breath of his life. Absalom also did the same. But David did not curse Absalom. There is a difference between David and sons, Jacob and sons. But there is a beautiful similarity. Amnon, Absalom, two brothers. Amen? Now you keep in this side. Simeon, Levi, two brothers. Tamar is their sister. True. Dina is their sister too. Yes. So let's keep it here. Jacob, three sons. Reuben, who defiled the father's bed. Simeon, Levi, the two sons who embraced violence, judgment in their own hands, they went and took revenge for their sister, Dina. On this side, Absalom, he took revenge for his own sister, Tamar, and he killed his very own brother, Amnon. Okay, there is a small change where these two brothers, they were together and killed someone outside the house of Jacob, Shechem, whereas these two brothers, they had something between them, and the sister was the reason. But this brother killed another brother, his own brother, inside the house. Because the Lord told David, I will judge you within your own house. I will raise the adversary in your own house. For Jacob, it was from outside. But still, the sons could not escape. Do you know why? Amnon hated Tamar. Shechem loved Dinah. Shechem approached the father to make peace. Amnon did nothing. So, There is an unbalance of righteousness in these two houses that we see in 2 Samuel and in Genesis 49. But the fathers on both sides, they hold on to the righteousness of God. David spoke certain words before the last breath of his life. Jacob spoke certain words before the last breath of his life. David also wrote a song before he died. But that song he gave to the people. But the words that he spoke concerning his desire, he spoke to Solomon in person. 1 Kings chapter 2. So, father told the son, do this so that the kingdom shall be established. Amen? Son destroyed all that father wanted to destroy. But the father did not lay the hand. On this side, Jacob, he is going to die. The son is already exalted. Who? Joseph. And all the other brothers, they are going to be saved from the famine because of their brother. The father is going to close his eyes with victory. He did not receive the promise, but he saw far off, he's going to die. He could have just blessed them, hold on to positivity, whatever we call it in this world. Be gracious, be merciful. No. Jacob is called Israel. Israel must always manifest the righteousness of God the Father in heaven. If Jacob says, I am the father of Israel, the Father in heaven must work through him. Amen? He did not even blink his eye, although he is speaking against his sons. Read the three verses. Same chapter, verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. You see, all 12 of them are brothers. He is sarcastically telling them, you two are really brothers. Brotherhood kindness, brotherly kindness, flesh of brotherhood, united as one, because you had agreed to go against Shechem and kill him without asking what needs to be done. Now he says, instruments of cruelty. For Reuben, the power of my excellence, my dignity. Oh, unstable as water. Oh, Reuben, unstable as water. Like a house planted on the sands of the sea. Oh, Simeon and Levi, your brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. You could see the same pattern in the life of Joab. Oh, my soul, come not thou into the secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. The wall daubed with untempered mortar shall fall. Ezekiel chapter 12 and 13. That is how we have been led to all these chapters. Because I did not prepare to go into the life of David. I was about to stop in book of Ezekiel. But the Lord smite my head. Continue. We have a lot to learn from the life of David. In their self-will, they dig down a wall. And the God told watchman Ezekiel, open the house of Israel, Jerusalem temple. When you peel up the layer one by one, behold, I saw a hole. And behold, I dig into the hole. I saw a door. Now, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Who is speaking? Jacob is speaking. I will divide them in Jacob. Hey, I am Jacob. I will scatter them in Israel. I am Israel. God is speaking through his servant Jacob. Because no one can bless anyone unless the one who is blessed can bless us through his vessels. But what happens in Judah, where David was ordained, anointed as a king? In Hebron, before house of Judah took over house of Israel, verse 5, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. 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 The word praise, Rachel, when the Lord blessed her with Joseph, she praised the Lord. Amen? Giving thanks to the Lord is one thing. Being grateful to the Lord is one thing. Praise the Lord is at a whole different level. Can I praise the Lord in all seasons of my life? Then our faith is growing day by day. Thy hand shall be in the neck of the enemies. Now I just said, the yoke is always there. Neck. The yoke in book of Ezekiel. And book of Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. The yoke shall be destroyed by the power of anointing. Power in praise. Your hand will be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. What is happening here? Jacob, you are my father. And Jacob said, thy father's children shall before thee. You are my father. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. The lion of Judah will come from thy line. The king of Judah. All shall bow before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And Nathan told David, when he cursed him, the sword shall never depart your house. Which side you are seeing? Can I just go and hit my head on the wall, kill myself because the sword, God said, oh, the sword is not going to depart from your house? In Genesis chapter 49, the promise is already given. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Sheol came, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. What a powerful promise. Binding his soul unto the vine, and his ass called unto the choice wine, not any wine. We just read vine, branches, cedar, thick branch, in all these chapters, Ezekiel and Isaiah. And now you see the words uttered by Jacob the father. Choice wine, chosen. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have we washed our clothes in the blood of Christ? His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I close, I want to read two verses. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 24. Proverbs chapter 23:24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Amen. He that give birth to a son of wisdom shall have great joy of him. You can have Adam and Seth, what happened to Abel. You can have David and Solomon, what happened to the seven-day child. I call it a seven-day child. Because seven-day child was killed. The child was dying for 7 days. It's like our flesh, all these principalities, all this darkness, it's all dying for the seven churches. And the Lord will make an end to all. And the wisdom, the crown of glory will be given to the children. Solomon was born as a child of wisdom. But he was not born as the king of wisdom. God had to meet him and ask him, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon said, grant me wisdom. Uttering the words is a sign of us speaking the words of life. For the life who created us. Amen. Now, if the father can rejoice in his children who have the wisdom, why the scripture says, the wrath of man praise thee. Book of Psalm, chapter 76, verse 10 and 12. We close. Thank the Lord. When God arose to judgment, I shall read from verse 9. Chapter 76, verse 9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Woe and pay unto the Lord your God, all that be round about him, and bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the Lord speak to our hearts concerning what we studied. I encourage you all, meditate on the words of life throughout the week. Book of Ezekiel, book of Isaiah. May the Lord speak to us. Let's all rise as we pray and close. Our Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. May you grant us the hunger
and the thirst of our heart to seek Thy Spirit, the anointing of Thy Spirit, the soaking of Thy presence, the molding and breaking in the presence of Thy fellowship. Lord, may You fill our hearts as we open, as we surrender, as we open, as we bow down our heads, as we open our mouth wide, as we open the doors of our hearts for You to walk in straight into our hearts, O Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak the words of life. Teach us, Lord, about Your righteousness. Help us, Lord, to live a life that we make You pleased as the children of wisdom and knowledge in Your truth, in Your Spirit, O Lord. Thank You, Lord. May You bless us to grow as the trees of righteousness rooted on the truth, rooted in the agape love, on the land that is good in Thy sight, to be fruitful. Bless us, Lord. May You shower upon Thy blessings upon all of us to be soaked with the gifts of willingness and obedience to yield the fruit that is always to the glory of Thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brothers.